Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Today's program is a warning. There's graphic violence. The warning for today's program, there's graphic violence. There's a graphic video that you're going to be seeing about abortion, so that you may want to turn away from this. I don't know. But I know right now we've been praying, dear God, end abortion, and it's just being revealed across the land. First thing we want to do, we want to be able to take a look at this video for Students for Life to begin to explain Planned Parenthood, because we're going to explore over the next two programs Planned Parenthood and abortion, the killing of children in their mother's womb in America. Let's take a look.
Planned Parenthood says it cares about us, about our health, about protecting our bodies and our rights. They say they provide a lot of women's health services, from contraception to mammograms, even counseling. But what do Planned Parenthood's own numbers say about them? The numbers say Planned Parenthood is big business. A big business that sells one thing, abortions. And they need to sell as many as they can. So they turn us into loyal customers. Here's how they create customers. First, they start with sex ed programs for teens, promoting promiscuity, passing out free condoms, and getting children hooked on sex. By selling us low-quality contraception, they guarantee us as return customers for STD and pregnancy tests. According to Consumer Reports, Planned Parenthood produced the lowest quality condoms of all the brands they tested, which means that they're going to fail more often than any other condom. If we want to avoid faulty condoms, the alternative they offer us is hormonal contraception. The problem is, these contraceptives are really bad for our bodies. The World Health Organization labels them as a type 1 carcinogen, which puts them in the same category as cigarettes and asbestos. So, what happens when, after using their faulty contraception, we inevitably get pregnant? Planned Parenthood knows we will turn to them. This is why 79% of Planned Parenthood facilities are within 5 miles of a college campus, because college campuses are huge client bases for them. When we come back pregnant, they offer counseling, which, according to former Planned Parenthood employees, isn't counseling at all. These employees tell us that Planned Parenthood affiliates have abortion quotas. That's why for every one adoption, Planned Parenthood sells 145 abortions. To meet these abortion quotas, their sales teams push abortion and steer us away from parenting and adoption. Because after all, abortion is Planned Parenthood's product. 92% of their prenatal services are abortions, and it brings in the profit. On average, Planned Parenthood rakes in $150 million from the nearly 334,000 abortions they perform a year. This means that, on average, each of our bodies is worth $451 to them. They get to add this to the money they get from the federal government, which means that, in a single year, Planned Parenthood cashes in on women in trouble to the tune of almost $700 million. There are plenty of organizations that care about us, local clinics and pregnancy centers that can actually help. They will tell us about real options and help us do what's best for us, not their bottom line. Because Planned Parenthood doesn't care about us. They care about selling their product. They don't care about our rights, and they don't care about real choice. Because let's face it, Planned Parenthood is about abortion, no matter what.
Who would ever think that the day would come that we're talking about killing our children? But it's taking place in a spiritual context of that. In a spiritual context of that, you know, you think about when you read about the false gods in the Old Testament, he talks about a god called Moloch. And Moloch was this false god that God hated the most, because they would sacrifice children to this god. And you think about how many, reportedly, there's over 57,762,000 abortions that took place since 1973, since we said it's actually legal to be able to do this. And now we're at the point where we're allowing people to kill babies, to partially birth them, to bring them almost totally out of their mother's womb, and kill them while their head is the only thing that's still inside their mother, and the baby is alive and the baby's moving around. And for some reason, The people who are for this, they're saying, and the legislators that are for this and our president is for this, they're saying this is okay. A baby is kicking and moving around and you deliver everything but the baby's head, and then you kill, you stab the back of the baby's head. As a matter of fact, we have a doctor right here, it's called Pro-Life Doctor, and he's going to show what actually takes place in a partial birth abortion, because we're talking about Planned Parenthood today, allegedly, and we're going to hear them, you're going to see them firsthand. What they're actually selling, talking about negotiating, selling parts of the baby's bodies, pieces of their bodies. It's just crazy what we're seeing take place. But this is graphic violence, a graphic vision you're about to see with this video. So brace yourself, because he's going to show it with a doll and imagery. But on the side split screen, you're actually going to see somebody doing exactly what he's saying to an actual baby. You aren't going to be able to see the actual video of that part of it on broadcast. We're not going to broadcast it for you, but we will make it available for those that are 18 years or older and those that feel that they need to be able to see this so they can actually understand what's taking place and what we're doing. Listen, above all the sins in America, killing people, killing innocent children, innocent bloodshed will bring huge judgment on our land. Brace yourself. Look away if you don't want to see this, but listen, we got to address this. Somebody's got to face this. Let's look at this.
The next technique we're going to demonstrate is the partial birth abortion. Partial birth abortion is a term that we hear a lot about in the news, but I really can't believe that people really understand what it means. Otherwise, we would not allow this procedure to be performed anywhere, not only in this country, but in the world. But a partial birth abortion is performed when the baby is too far developed in order to either be sucked out with the suction curette or to be able to be dismembered and brought out piece by piece with this forcep. A partial birth abortion, or a D and X, is very similar to what it says. We're going to deliver the majority of the baby, and then before the baby's head is delivered, then we're going to actually kill the baby. Now, before the procedure would start, the cervix would have already received those things we talked about called laminaria. Those are the sticks that go into the cervix that would then swell overnight and would open up the cervix because we have a lot more baby to deliver. And this can be performed anywhere up to term, because remember, Doe versus Bolton defined mother's health as physical, emotional, psychological, familial, and age. So as long as the physician under those definitions says mother's health is in jeopardy, this procedure can be performed. Now, using an ultrasound to guide, the cervix will be dilated, the speculum would already be in place to open things up, and then using the ultrasound as a guide, this instrument would be placed in the inside through the cervix and would then grab one of the baby's feet. Once that foot is grabbed with that tenaculum, that baby's foot is then brought to the outside. Once that first foot is brought to the outside, then the second foot would be brought to the outside. And then with traction, with a baby that is still alive, the baby would then have both legs delivered, would then have its belly delivered. Once the baby is brought further down, first one arm would be delivered. That would be rotated this way. And then the baby's rotated around the other way, and the second arm is delivered. Now, the entire baby from the neck down is now alive and in the abortionist's hands that's performing this procedure. The entire baby, including the head, are already out of the womb, beyond the cervix, and the only thing that's left on the inside of the mother is the baby's head, but that's only just inside the vagina. And baby is moving, baby is alive, baby is intact up to this point. But If the baby then delivers, it's then considered a live birth, and the baby would have to go to the nursery. But before that's allowed to happen, this is when the abortion would actually kill the baby. And the way they do that is, if you remember from biology class, there's that connection between the brain and the spinal cord, and that opening at the base of the skull is called the foramen magnum. And that small hole, with the baby moving and alive in one hand, pair of scissors, these are called Metzenbaum scissors. These scissors are then placed into the base of the skull, and these scissors are then placed in through that foramen magnum up into the baby's brain and skull cavity. The scissors are then opened up, and then if that hasn't killed the baby, then one of the suction curettes is then placed through that same hole up into the baby's skull and brain. The suction is applied. And just how you saw how powerful that suction machine is, if it can crush the steel can, then it can definitely kill the baby there on the inside. Once the baby has then been killed and is no longer alive, then the remainder, which is just the baby's head, is then delivered, and the procedure is then completed for the delivery of the baby. Once the baby is delivered, though, then the only thing that's left is to deliver the placenta by just, again, scraping the placenta and bringing that down. So when you hear the term partial birth abortion, that's what's going on. A baby is being delivered the feet, the abdomen, the chest, the arms and the legs. The baby is then killed, and then once the baby is killed, then the remainder of the baby is allowed to be delivered. So that's partial birth abortion.
What happened to us that our hearts became so hard that we can kill our own children like this? I mean, you couldn't see the haze down there. What he was saying was actually taking place. As he was saying it, they were doing it. This beautiful baby was being killed, just like he said would happen. This is what they're saying they want to legalize. This is what they want to say, what Roe versus Wade was talking about, killing the children. And now, when you get back from this break, I want you to see these people that are leading this up allegedly are meeting with people. We got them on video, allegedly, sitting there negotiating. Now they want to sell the arms. They want to sell the legs. They want to sell the hearts. They want to sell the livers. I mean, what is happening to us? We have to cry out to God. God will hear us. He will end abortion if we cry out to him and say, "Dear God, forgive us for this sin and this innocent bloodshed." This is a very tragic program today. We prayed about it. We thought about it. And most people were just kind of barely brushing right over it. But God is looking square in our eyes and saying, "America, if you want to live, if you want to stand, you're going to have to deal with the innocent bloodshed taking place." And what you're about to see, allegedly, is Planned Parenthood, Deborah Nucatalli. She's a doctor, MD. She's a senior director for medical services. Her business card, you know, says, you can see right here. And in this particular undercover video, allegedly, she's sitting here negotiating about, you know, the babies that are being aborted, what to do. And she talks about crushing. We'll just crush the baby a certain way. It says, we've got to look at this. We can't just keep turning our heads, because God's reason what's happening in our land right now while we're under such great turmoil. It's because since 1973, forget about recent decisions, since 73, we said, this is okay. And now they're selling parts of the babies they're taking out of the mother's wounds. Take a look.
A lot of people want to attack parts these days. They're looking for specific nodes, maybe the testing. I was like, wow, I didn't even know. Good for them. Yesterday was the first time she said people wanted lungs in her IV. And then, like I said, always as many attack livers as possible. People just want
livers.
People want lower extremities too, which that's simple. I mean, that's easy. I don't know what they're doing with it, because they want muscle.
A dime a dozen.
Director for the national office for all affiliates.
So I say, okay, what are you looking to supply today? We've been very good at getting heart, lung, liver. Every provider has had patients who want to donate their tissue, and they absolutely want to accommodate them. They just want to do it in a way that is not perceived as, this clinic is selling tissue, this clinic is making money off of this.
Okay, so when you are, or the affiliate is determining what that is monetary.
Yes.
So then it doesn't raise any question of this is what it's about, this is the main thing. What price range would you
You know, I'm going to throw a number out. I would say it's probably anywhere from $30 to $100, depending on the facility and what's involved.
The $30 to $100 price, or that's per specimen that we're talking
per
about,
specimen.
Right?
Yeah. Yes.
The $30 to $100 price, or that's per specimen that we're talking
per
about,
specimen.
Right? Yeah.
Yes.
How much of a difference can that actually make if you know what kind of what's expected or what we need versus...
It makes a huge difference. I'd say a lot of people want liver.
Mm-hmm.
And for that reason, most providers put this case under ultrasound guidance,
mm-hmm.
so they'll know where they're putting their forceps. Kind of rate-limiting step of the procedure is calvarium. The head is basically the biggest part. Most of the other stuff can come out intact.
Right.
It's very rare to have a patient that doesn't have enough dilation to evacuate all the
To bring the body cavity out
exactly.
intact and all that.
So then you're just kind of cognizant of where you put your grasp first. You try to intentionally go above and below the thorax so that, you know, we've been very good at getting parts on the liver.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know that, so I'm not going to crush that part. I'm going to basically crush below, I'm going to crush above, and I'm going to see if I get it intact. And with the calvarium, in general, some people will actually try to change the presentation so that it's not a vertex, so it's a vertex presentation. You never have enough dilation in the beginning unless you have a real huge amount of dilation to deliver an intact calvarium. So if you do it starting from the breech presentation, there's dilation that happens as the case goes on, and often the last kind of evacuating intact calvarium. So, I mean, there are certainly steps that can be taken.
So they can convert to breech, for example,
exactly.
at the start of the...
Exactly. They can convert to ultrasound guidance, they can just change the presentation.
Excellent.
Ultrasound guidance, they can just change the presentation.
To bring the body cavity out,
exactly.
intact and all that.
So if you do it starting from the breech presentation, there's dilation that happens as the case goes on, and often the last kind of evacuating intact calvarium. Federal abortion ban is a law, and laws are up to interpretation. So if I say on day one I do not intend to do this, what ultimately happens doesn't matter.
So yesterday was a clinic day. For example, like, what did you procure?
You know, I asked her at the beginning of the day what she wanted. Yesterday she's been at, a lot of people want intact parts these days because they're looking for specific nodes, AV nodes, SA. I was like, wow, I didn't even know. Good for them. Yesterday was the first time she said people wanted lungs. And then, like I said, always as many intact livers as possible. People just want
livers.
People want lower extremities too, which that's simple. I mean, that's easy. I don't know what they're doing with it. I guess they want muscle.
Yeah, a dime a dozen.
If you maintain enough of the dialogue to the person that's actually doing the procedures and they understand what the end game is, there are little things, changes they can make in their technique to increase your
even
success.
Though they have a set way that they do it, they're open to changing it.
The reasonable people, sure. For example, so I had 8 cases yesterday. And I knew exactly what we needed, and I kind of looked at the list, and I said, all right, this 17-weeker has 8 clamps, and this one. So I knew which were the cases that were probably more likely to yield what we needed, and I made my decisions according to that, too. So it's worth having a huddle at the beginning of the day,
uh-huh.
and that's what I do.
Rather than having to deal with all the different affiliates, if there were a way to partner with PPFA directly to get some kind of like pre-clearance or something,
so
that
we
have...
So we tried to do this.
Uh-huh.
And at the national office, we have a litigation and law department, which just really doesn't want us to be the middle people for this issue right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were approached by Stem Express to do the same thing.
Uh-huh.
One of the Northern California affiliates said, we're working with this, we love it. think every affiliate should work with them. And so we had a conversation. We said, you know, let's, what do you think? We'll just go out and find all the people that are doing this and present everybody with a menu. And they, at the end of the day, they just decided it's, right now it's too touchy an issue for us to be an official middleman. But that,
when you say right now, they see a future.
Right now, the way the Supreme Court looks, I don't think it looks very good.
Okay.
If you talk to my litigation and law folks, anything that's going to go to the Supreme Court right now, we are all losers. But I will tell you that behind closed doors, these conversations are happening with the affiliates.
Cecile, I want to thank you so much for Dr. Nuka-Tola. She's been so helpful for the past couple of years. Fetal tissue collection.
I know a lot of you do it.
Very, very helpful of her to talk to you.
Okay, great. Thank you.
She's amazing.
And thank you for Planned Parenthood.
Thank you.
What she's allegedly saying as she's eating her meal is she looks at the women who have yet killed their children, pre-sells the body parts of these children. And she does, she just continues to eat her food. I mean, this is a sign of, you know, we've got to, how far we've come as a nation. Yeah. Because if you look at Romans chapter 1, he says he begins to turn us over to reprobate mind. That's a hard heart. That's a hard mind, you know?
This is a cut to order. This is, it's almost, it's like a butcher. I mean, it's
horrific. Can you imagine standing before the judgment seat of Christ and you have a baby who you ordered their part to have them killed, put into your ear or put into your child's liver in place of a liver transplant, and God's going to go, oh, that's great. You killed somebody to be able to have life.
Right.
When the truth is, you know, God allowed his son to be killed so you can have eternal life. It's not about this life. It's the life to come.
Yes.
And ending these children's life. They're talking about having menus. Mm. And see, this is what she said. This is very interesting because remember, this is a government by the people and for the people. You can change this. You can change this. She said, this thing goes to the Supreme Court. We're losers in this. It needs to go to the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Abortion needs to end. We get back from this break. We have another, I believe she's a president of part of Planned Parenthood's organization out of California. And it's even, she's talking about, she wants to sell these parts, and her words are allegedly to get a Lamborghini, a fancy car for this baby's life. What are we coming to?
What would you expect for intact, tissue? What sort of compensation? What sort of...
Well, why don't you start by telling me what you used to pay?
Exhibiting at the Medical Directors Council meeting in a couple of weeks. So I don't know if you'll be attending.
You're now the president of that organization.
Oh.
So we had just started the conversation. And SUSE was a clinic. They're a startup that they have been about a year in business. They're a for-profit company that's connecting researchers with people willing to donate tissue. Our volume, thank you for giving it to me, is 800 a year. We're 60 in the second trimester. And we're just starting to talk about how the process worked with Novogenics down in Los Angeles when I was there.
Okay.
To back up a little bit, PPFA, our parent body, is on board with tissue donation, but we have to ask for a waiver to do it, and we have to lay out for them what our program's going to be like. And the mechanics of it was that Heather, a Novogenics person, would come to the site, and our staff would sign the patients up and get consent, and then Heather would look at the tissue and take what she required. So it was logistically very easy for us. We didn't have to do anything. So it was compensation for this, and we didn't have to do anything. So it was compensation for this, and there was a discussion as I was leaving. They had been paying by the case, and there was some discussion about doing it in a different way, or I don't know what you're used to doing, how you're used to doing compensation. The patients don't get anything, of course.
Okay, so I'd like, what would you expect for intact tissue? What sort of compensation? What sort of...
Well, why don't you start by telling me what you used to pay?
Okay. I don't think so. I would like to know what would make you happy. What would work for you?
You know, in negotiations, the person who throws out the figure first is at a loss, right? So.
No, I don't look at it that way. I know. You want to play that game, I get it. But no, I want
lowball because I'm used to low things from.
You know what? If you lowball, I'll act pleasantly surprised, and you'll know it's a lowball.
Okay.
What I want to know is what would work for you. Don't lowball it.
Okay.
Tell me what you really.
$75
Oh, that's way too low. That's way too low. I don't. I want to keep you happy.
I've been at places that did 50 too. But see, we're not in it for the money. Or why don't you start by telling me what you used to pay? $75 is pressing. And we don't want to be in the position of being accused of selling tissue and stuff like that. On the other hand, there are costs associated with the use of our
exactly.
space and all that kind of stuff. So what
yes.
would you think of that?
Right. So. Way higher than that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to start at around 100.
Okay. Now this is for tissue that you actually take, not just the tissue that the person volunteers that you can't find anything. Right?
Exactly.
Now this is for tissue that you actually take, not just the tissue that the person volunteers that you can't find anything. Right?
Exactly. Right. What we can use, what is intact. So that's why I'm saying no. Don't lowball. I want you to be
well,
happy.
Well, it's complicated by the fact that our volume is so low too. I mean, are you looking at 8 and 9 week specimens or only second trimester specimens?
You know, 10 to 12 week. You know, end of the first trimester. If those are pretty intact specimens, then that's something we can work with.
So that's an interesting concept. Let me explain to you a little bit of a problem, which may not be a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
If our usual technique is suction at 10 to 12 weeks, and we switch to using an IPAS or something with less suction in order to increase the odds that would come out as an intact specimen, then we're kind of violating the protocol that says to the patient, we're not doing anything different in our care of you. And to me, that's a kind of a specious little argument, and I wouldn't object to asking Ian, who's our surgeon who does the cases, to use an IPAS at that gestational age in order to increase the odds that he was going to get an intact specimen. But I do need to throw it out there as a concern, because the patient is signing something and we're signing something saying we're not changing anything in the way we're managing you just because you agreed to give tissue. Heard of that before.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's definitely
it's touchy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How do you feel about that?
I think, you know, they're both totally appropriate techniques. There's no pain involved. Mm-hmm. I don't think the patients would care one iota.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not fuss about that.
Okay. Okay.
Now you have my email address, right?
Got your email, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Write me a 3 or 4 paragraph proposal, which I will then take to Laurel and others in our organization to see if we want to pursue this. And then if we want to pursue this mutually, I'll mention this to Ian in terms of how he feels about using a less crunchy technique to get more whole specimens. And then if we agree to move forward, the next steps are we to apply to PPFA for a waiver to permit us to do this. We have to have a contract. Do you have a contract already?
We have a, what we've used in the past is a materials transfer agreement. And that's obviously open to discussion.
So that's a prototype. It needs to say exactly what your staff is going to do, exactly what your expectations are, exactly what your compensation is.
And are we agreed that $100 would keep you happy?
Well, let me agree to find out from other
yes.
affiliates in California what they're getting. And if they're getting substantially more, then we can discuss it then.
Yes.
But you know, the money is not the important thing.
No,
but it has to be big enough that it's
But it is something to talk about. I mean, it's one of the first things that you brought up, right? So...
Now, here's another thought is, you know, we've been talking about specimen as per specimen per case or per procured tissue sample, which would be, so if we're able to get a liver thymus pair, you know, maybe that is $75 per specimen, and so that's for, you know, for liver thymus pair, and that's $150, versus if we can get liver thymus brain hemisphere and all that, then, you know, and so that protects us so that we're not paying for what we can't use. And I mean, it also,
Okay. Sure.
maybe illustrates things.
It's been years since I've talked about compensation, so let me just figure out what others are getting at. If this is in the ballpark, then that's fine. If it's still low, then we can talk about it. I want a Lamborghini. I said I want a Lamborghini.
Don't we all, right?
Yeah, exactly.
This is, it's just like, it's a place, you know.
It's horrific.
It's, I mean, you go to Walmart, you buy food, you buy clothes, they want to sell you these things. You go to a car lot, they try to sell you cars. This place is selling the murder of children.
Wow.
And think about this, that, you know, Planned Parenthood, supposedly there to be able to help someone out. And we're going to have Senator David Viter on just a moment talking about, they're just selling abortions. But just Sherry Shepherd on The View, she went there to get help, and, you know, Whoopi Goldberg, she asked her, she said, where did you go? She said, I went to Planned Parenthood.
Wow.
And they're the ones that pushed abortion on me. As a matter of fact, listen to Sherry Shepherd right here. It just breaks your heart.
There are teenage girls out here. Mm-hmm. There are teenage girls out here who, I have to speak to that because I was one of them, who it wasn't a thing of where I didn't think of, oh, I can't feed this baby. I don't have enough money.
Know? Did anybody
I
teach you?
I was a teenager. It was just like,
who helped you? Where did you go to get help to talk about what had happened?
I went to Planned Parenthood, and they actually were encouraging me to have the abortion. Even when I had second thoughts.
How old were you?
I was 17. And I said, I got second thoughts, but they were trying to rush me in there to have the abortion.
I have to say, Sherry, I don't know who you went to, but I'll tell you.
Planned Parenthood. That's
not what I'm saying.
No, imagine this menu is set up like this particular Planned Parenthood employee is saying, allegedly, they see Sherry come in. They think, you know, we need that baby because we got some buyers.
We have a quota,
and we have buyers for those babies' ears and lungs
and livers
and all this stuff. And they're pushing her in. It's like they're just selling the murder of children. Almost 70 million since 1973. Listen to Senator David Viter even just say it right before Congress. Watch this.
Planned Parenthood has made a profit every year since 1987. Including a $63.4 million return in 2009. There is no justification for subsidizing Planned Parenthood's profitable venture with taxpayer dollars, particularly when roughly half or more of those taxpayers deeply, deeply disagree with abortion.
Did you see the difference in that? How the decrease of the other services have gone down and just like horrifically high for abortions, and Sherry's saying, they just pushed me through, you know, and she says, and she goes on to say in an interview, we'll make it available for you on the VFN Torch. She says that now I feel all this guilt and shame about what happened, and so many women do. But listen, we got to stop the next one that's going to happen. You know, we know what's happened in the past, but we got to stop it. And I think about this, when we get back from this break, we're going to be able to talk about, you know, specifically of Dr. Gosnell, who was doing this thing in his office. And a baby reaches out and grabs his hand, and he takes the child, twists his neck head off, stuck his finger in his throat, suctioned out his brain from his soft spot. These are the employees that work with him talking. It is just horrific what's taking place. Listen, and think about this. It's women of color and poor women and communities that they're actually –
targeting.
And that was Margaret Sanger's original vision, who had this whole Planned Parenthood founder of it. She wanted to be able to eliminate the African-American community and the Southern Protestants, I guess they the reports are.
Planned Parenthood, 79%, according to Student for Life video, have their facilities within 5 miles of college campuses.
Right.
I mean, think about that. Our young women, and they're being targeted. And they're being offered this abortion right there.
Well, they're promoting the sex.
Yeah.
They're promoting bad contraceptives, and they're selling the baby before you even, before they kill it, and before you go in and commit to it. And according to Sherry Shepherd, they're pressing her in to make this quick decision.
Even when she had second thoughts.
But watch, as we go to break, I want you to see this. Think about it. That if you look at the women that this is happening to, it's mostly women of color, they're saying.
Yeah.
But you were killing. Poor. I mean, talking about killing children of color is like this is like a murdering place. Yeah. As a matter of fact, watch this.
Bureaucratic inertia is not exactly news. We understand that, but we think this was something more. We think the reason no one acted is because the women in question were poor and of color. Because the victims were infants without identities. And because the subject was the political football of abortion.
This is just a tragic program, but listen, if you've been with us, you've been hearing us. Dear God, end abortion, sin revival, a third great awakening. This innocent bloodshed has to be dealt with. Listen, we can carry things to the cross. God will forgive us, but we have to acknowledge, you know, what it is. And you think about Dr. Gosnell and what was taking place when you're watching an interview of his clinic assistants that were watching him kill these children that would come out alive. I mean, once you deliver a baby, everything but their head, and then you kill them by suctioning out their brain or cutting
sticking off, scissors,
there's
and
nothing left
in
inside
head.
Of you that's redeemable in your home. I mean, you're gone. Yeah. If you can do that to a child, I mean, you think about that. And listen to these Gosnell employees. It's just going to break your heart. But their firsthand knowledge, they saw this taking place. Watch.
So. And you see the baby alive.
Yes, sir.
And him kill that baby outside the womb.
Yes, sir.
And this would be done by jamming some sort of instrument into the
either that or soft spot or twisting the head off the neck, kind of with his own bare hands.
And you saw that happen.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. So he would go through
the stomach as well.
Sometimes he would do what?
He would like force it through the stomach.
The instrument, mm-hmm. Is it beards?
And like twist it.
Yeah.
And you another saw that?
Mm-hmm. Anything that he could get to the fastest. Like she said, the umbilical, he was probably perforating the umbilical cord. I normally saw either the snipping of the spine or the introduction of the instrument in the soft spot of the fetus, normally, or twisting of the neck.
He would put like his finger?
Yeah, or his finger. He'd take his finger and then
through the throat.
Yeah.
You remember that the one that he did, that the baby, the fetus came out and it was alive. He had thought he had actually killed it already, and he opened up his eyes and grabbed his hand, his finger. Mm-hmm. Remember that one?
No. What happened?
Supposedly they said that it was a botch, and it was a botch abortion. But the fetus was still alive. He thought it was dead.
Mm-hmm.
And the fetus opened his eyes and actually
grabbed his finger.
Was able to grab his finger. And the whole procedure, I guess, while he's doing the procedure.
He was getting
after the fetus, of course, he has to massage the abdomen to bring the placenta down or grab it with the forceps to bring it out.
And this baby was
alive.
Huh?
He was alive.
Well, yeah, he's looking at him and grabbing his finger.
Yeah.
Yeah. He thought he had finished with the baby. It was.
He thought it was deceased.
It was a disease. He was getting ready to put it in the bag.
Did he talk about that?
One of his employees did. That's how I found out.
He doesn't talk about that.
This is tragic. Dr. Gosnell, he's in jail now. But what's taking place? We're hearing the same things allegedly coming out highly tax-funded. Your money's paying for Planned Parenthood. So $500 million. We don't have a lot of time, but I want you to see this. This is, you know, the Lord says, I knit you together in your mother's womb. Understand that now we can look inside the womb and look at the child before some doctor in some quiet room can just snuff out this child's life. We can see those children now. As a matter of fact, take a look now at the child that they've been talking about this whole program. Watch. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Psalms chapter 139:13. Tragedy. Let's just pray right now and ask God just to end this sin. Forgive us for the sin. Father God, we just come to you now, yes, Lord, and Lord. Repent. God, forgive us for the sin of murder, which we define as abortion, God. Selling parts of babies, funding with our own monies to the tax dollars, Lord God. God, forgive us for the killing of our children, the sacrifices to Moloch. God, we ask you, Lord, that you would end abortion, Lord God. That you would forgive us for the sin, for this innocent bloodshed. Josiah cried out, Lord, and you said, because he cried out, you heard him, Lord God, and you stopped things and you paused things. God, we ask you for a third great awakening. Pause, God, I pray, Lord God. Send a third great awakening. End abortion in America, we pray. Yes. In Jesus' name, amen. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Dated Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.